You shall determine what the future will bring and what is the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Rob Brazilian. And Rob has his own radio programs. He's very concerned about what's going on, as am I. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, oh, before I get to our special guest this evening, Wynn Coleman, I just want to quote to comment on something. The longer I live, the more convinced I am that God does work in the affairs of men. And the quarterback for the Broncos is a man named, I believe, Tebow, something of the sort. And He's well known for his Christian views and for stressing the ministry by talking about John 3:16. In fact, he used to paint on his face, you know, where they have those black stripes under their eyes, 3:16, referring to John 3:16. And he was told he couldn't do that. It was just too religious. So he was forced to stop doing that. But this last Sunday, in the playoff game, the first, of course, the playoff games, moving the Broncos towards the Super Bowl. Why, of course, they were playing the Steelers with an excellent team. And basically, the Tebow passed for 316 yards, not 315, not 317, but 316 yards, and the Broncos won the game against an excellent team, which was the Steelers. Now, was that God's intervention? Well, I've seen several programs on television. So they had a program, I believe, on Rock Center, where they were actually showed three nuns who were very involved in football, and they said they thought that God was involved, but they didn't mention the 316 yards. And I read an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it talked about all the details of the game of the 316 yards. But didn't mention the spiritual significance. Now, my son tells me that Fox News and CNN and a couple of the others have mentioned the significance of John 3:16. Does this mean anything? Maybe it was just a coincidence. Or does God sometimes still work in the affairs of men? I'll just have to leave that up to you, but I will tell you that if the 49ers should get to the Super Bowl and they're playing the Denver team, you know who I'm going to be rooting for, even though I ordinarily would vote for the 49ers, I will be rooting for Denver. Well, with that as a background, let's get to Wynn Coleman. And we're going to be talking this evening about Agenda 21. There is an organized effort to utilize the threat to the environment as a vehicle for establishing a dictatorship in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave in the name of protecting us from environmental degradation. It's planned out. They know exactly what they're doing. It was put into effect back in 1971 by the Club of Rome. And unfortunately, Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century, which will mark the end of freedom as we know it. There really are people who want a dictatorship, ladies and gentlemen. That's why they've organized the FEMA camps all across America. That's why we have a war on terrorism that has justified the National Defense Authorization Act, so they can start arresting Americans and put them in prison because they might be a terrorist. No trial, no habeas corpus. And this is the law of the land. They're beginning to recruit people to work in the terrorist trade in the prison camps across America. You need to get my talk on the planned police state. Well, Wynn, how are you tonight?
Oh, I am just great, Dr. Stan. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to have an opportunity to be on your program. I've listened, Rick.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Met her husband in New York, lived there for 19 years, is back in Raleigh, North Carolina, and she's been studying this whole thing of Agenda 21. This is the hidden agenda for the 21st century that will use, of course, the myth of global warming and environmental degradation and the danger to destroying the environment to justify ever more control over our lives. It's all staged. In some instances, there really is a problem as far as the environment is concerned. They really are spraying our atmosphere with aluminum and barium and titanium, and these things are hazardous to our wealth, to our health and the soil, and certainly to the fish in the sea. We know that, for instance, the level of aluminum in the skin of whales has gone up something like 2,000%. They know that they're poisoning the animals, and they're poisoning the crops and the trees. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't want us to know, and then they point to these problems and say, oh, we need more government control. What they do is they create the problems, and of course what they really want to do is massively exterminate people throughout the world. There is a population control agenda. They openly talk about the necessity of killing off most of the people in the world, and whether it be Eric Pianka down at the University there of Texas talking about eliminating 90% of the world population, or Dr. Sam Keen in 1995 at the Gorbachev meeting up in Santa Clara talking about eliminating 90% of the world's population, or certainly the Georgia Guidestones there in Elberton, Georgia. They talk about eliminating maybe 90-95% of the population. Ted Turner has made similar statements. They know what they're doing, but it is so ridiculous. Most people certainly find it difficult to believe anything could be this diabolical. Well, Zenny Witt is back there in Raleigh with our good friend Dr. Dennis Cuddy, lives and where he works, and she was beginning to tell us a little bit about Peggy Cuddy, Dr. Cuddy's mother. Go ahead, Wynn. You pick up the story from there and then tell us why we should be concerned about Agenda 21, the covert agenda for the 21st century.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. When I first came to Raleigh, I'd been delving even more deeply into the Bible, and I was interested to learn more about the New Age movement because I realized it was very different from what is in the Bible. And my mother, who had been a close ally of Peggy Cuddy during the fight against the Equal Rights Amendment, recommended that I contact Peggy since she lives in Raleigh. And I did, and she was the greatest tutor in the world. I mean, she is a behind-the-scenes researcher that you just can't imagine. And one of the first things she taught me about is sustainable development, which was just coming out when I moved to Raleigh. And she taught me the connections that not only global elites in business and politics are involved in it, but also how there's a spiritual element. And maybe in another show I could get into that aspect of it. But I just have to give a tribute to Peggy Cuddy and Dennis, too, because he has been just marvelous. In regards to Agenda 21, actually, I was hoping to get into a specialized area of it because I know that over the years you've already had highly qualified guests to speak about Agenda 21, and that at least some of your regular listeners know at least a little bit about it already. So what I was hoping to do is talk about a new type of corporation that is coming out right now that is the basis of it is Agenda 21 and its accompanying philosophy, Sustainable Development. And this is very important that people recognize this new type of corporation because it really, it's very ambitious. The designers behind it will use it to transform our culture in ways that go way beyond business. So I'd like to focus on that tonight, if you don't mind.
You go right ahead. And fortunately, when we do a program, we can do whatever we want to. We're not answerable to anybody. We don't have any corporate sponsors. And the people who advertise with us, most of them agree with our philosophy. And if they don't, they quit advertising. But we are just blessed to have people who support what we're doing. And, of course, we are answerable to our listeners. We're answerable to God. You go right ahead.
Well, thank you. Now, you've already very well explained a lot about Agenda 21, and we know that it's the United Nations document, which is based on sustainable development. And this has all been done under the pretense of saving or protecting the environment for present and future generations. But actually, it goes far past the environment into the areas of economy and social equity, which is also known as social justice. And these three categories are broad enough to cover all areas of human activity. And this is a key concept in what I'm going to talk about tonight. There are two core concepts I'd like to get across about Agenda 21 Sustainable Development before I talk about this new type of corporation, which is known as benefit corporations. They're also called for-benefit corporations, which is the word for, F-O-R, hyphen, benefit corporation. In other words, it's for our benefit. And Agenda 21 is based on the definition of sustainable development, which was actually developed in 1987 in the United Nations in the Brundtland Report by the first female vice president of the World Socialist Party named Gro Harlem Brundtland. This is a very important definition, and it undergirds almost everything that goes on in Agenda 21 and sustainable development. It is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And this was actually adopted at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, and ever since then there's been a big focus on saving the earth for future generations. So whenever you see any articles in newspapers or proposed legislation, if you see the word future generations, even if you don't see the word sustainable development or Agenda 21, then that will be a big clue that this is an initiative for that Agenda 21 document. Another key concept is that saving the earth for future generations is based on the precautionary principle, which is the principle that incites us to take anticipatory action in the absence of scientific certainty. This means that even though nothing is scientifically proven, government or environmental radicals think that we should go on and take action in the absence of any proof. And the most obvious examples of this would be man-made global warming, endangered species. We want to protect the spotted owl, the long-tailed salamander, different types of salmon, and water shortages and population reduction, which I know, Dr. Stan, over the years has been a big subject for you to highlight. So that is an idea that we really have to remember, that they're always trying to prevent things that might happen, even though we don't know that they're going to happen.
But basically, of course, what they want to do, for instance, with the spotted owl, they really want to close down the American lumber business, certainly. They close the American lumber business, and then, of course, we shift lumber production to South America, to other countries, to build up the economy there and destroy the economy here. You use the threat to the fish. We have the three in smelt there in the Sacramento River. And so basically you cut off the water to agriculture there in the Central Valley of California, one of the major food baskets for the world. But this then transfers agricultural production to other countries. Because behind everything that's going on is this effort to destroy the economy in the United States and build up the economy in other countries and lower the living standards here and raise the living standards elsewhere. And we've seen this. We've systematically transferred the automobile industry to other countries. We used to build 18 million cars a year. Here now we build maybe 11, 12 million. China actually produces more cars than we do. Because a lot of those cars are produced by American factories over in China. But, of course, it's a matter of transferring our jobs to other countries. And basically, we've seen this with the steel industry, the textile industry, the television, electronic, so many of the industries are being systematically and intentionally transferred overseas. Mining is being sent overseas. This is not happening by accident. It's happening by intent. And, of course, then Agenda 21 is being used as a cover for the globalist plan to lower living standards in America, raise living standards in other countries, and eventually, of course, bring about a world dictatorship. The average individual cannot believe anything would be this convoluted. But this is exactly what these wicked people have planned. And his plan started with the Club of Rome, which is part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, which worked in conjunction with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission, is intent upon destroying the economy of our nation and building up the economy throughout the world. You can see what a great job they're doing. The whole House of Cards is coming down. Go right ahead with.
All right, thank you. Well, you've described that so well. I will skip on some of the other ideas of Agenda 21, but one key core concept that is very important before I talk about benefit corporations is the idea of the three E's of sustainable development. Most people interpret sustainability, as we know, to mean protecting the environment and saving the earth, but the reality is that sustainable development encompasses much more than in protecting the environment. Is only one third of the total package that's known as the three E's, or the three pillars of sustainable development. And some of you may have already seen the symbol that is used to indicate the three E's. It looks like a pretzel. It's three interlocking circles. And I even have it on our Raleigh City website now, and it's very saddening for me to see that there.
And the average person has no idea what's going on because they control the media. We'll be back in a moment.
Thanks.
Wynn, why don't you tell our listeners once again what the three E's are?
The three E's are environment, economy, and equity, or social equity.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and
I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It means, of course, we have to have equality, economic equality throughout the world, which is why they're destroying the economy in the United States and building it up in other countries, why they're intentionally transferring American jobs to other countries. They've transferred about 8 million jobs to other countries now. And, of course, this, so it gets into the economy. We have to transform the economy. And, of course, this is why we transfer our automobile industry, our steel industry, our electronic industry, our clothing industry, our lumber industry, the mining industry. All of these industries and so many more are being systematically transferred to other countries, the fishing industry, the farming industry. All of this is being intentionally transferred to other countries to build up their economy so we can have equity. And then, of course, they're using this, of course, to supposedly, have equity, equal opportunity and equal income throughout the world, except, of course, for the ruling elite. They never mention there is a ruling elite, the people behind this whole movement. What they're doing is transferring your wealth and your future and destroying the value of your currency. But of course, these people of the elite do not use paper money. They use gold and silver into commodities and things of inherent value. And as they systematically move to impoverish the American people, they know what they're doing. There are not very many of them. They're well organized and go right ahead. They win.
Well, the reporter, John Murawski, stated in his news brief that advocates of socially responsible capitalism are hoping North Carolina will become one of the few states in the nation that gives businesses legal permission to fulfill moral obligations to their poor or to the environment at the expense of their own shareholders. Well, there you go, moral obligations. That really is a code for social equity to the poor and or to the environment. The environment's obvious. The reporter went on to say that the bill had passed unanimously 50-0 in the North Carolina Senate. Now, interestingly enough, this happened right after Republicans were in charge of both chambers for the first time in 140 years. Can you believe that? And now, keep in mind that Agenda 21 in sustainable development is a nonpartisan issue, but that doesn't show how woefully uninformed many of our elected officials are about the warning signs of Agenda 21. They just don't know about it.
They don't understand this is all part of a move towards socialism. Mm-hmm. Socialism is a system where you will have equality of income or nothing. And basically, that, of course, for the common people, the elite will always have their funding because it's the elite who are pushing this whole thing. But we can't let the American people understand or understand the Brotherhood of Darkness, this small group of people who are deeply involved spiritually with a different God. And not until you get into that, and we'll get into that some other evening, but that gets into this whole New Age movement and the God that these other people, these people who believe in the three E's, who believe in sustainable development, the God that they worship, go right ahead. And incidentally, that God has rewarded many of them fabulously well. Many of these people are multimillionaires or billionaires. Go right ahead.
Well, to be fair to the legislators, the word sustainable or sustainable development is not in the SB 26 bill. But what tipped me off, as I've been telling you, was the focus on fulfilling moral obligations to the poor or to the environment. So those are the two of the three E's of sustainable development, and then when you combine that with the bill, which is about business, you have your three E's. So after researching the bill, I determined that I was going to try to stop it in the House because I hadn't known about it in the Senate. And I asked some of my fellow activists in North Carolina who understand Agenda 21 to help me. But the bill was so complex that some were willing to help me, but they really didn't know how to explain what was wrong with it to the legislators. So some wonderful activists in Cleveland County asked me to help them understand it better. And this is important because their state representative was chairing the committee to review SB 26 in the House that would create benefit corporations. So I wrote a report which outlined five key points that they could use, either one or several of the points based on whether the person very sophisticated was calling his or her legislator. And then I wrote an explanation for each of the points and a general overview of Agenda 21 for those who didn't know anything about it. Well, I also used this to contact my own legislators, and the results have been encouraging. The bill has actually become lost in committee as a result.
Hold that thought. You can affect your legislators as long if you know.
While the storm clouds gather.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. 630-9796, or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
I know that there are some of you out there who are suffering from a debilitating disease. Many of you may feel that there's nothing else that can be done regarding your cancer. I want to suggest that you investigate the Invita Clinic. The only clinic of its kind, Invita offers an extensive array of advanced natural treatments under one roof. They treat a wide variety of conditions, particularly cancer and heart disease. The diversity of their doctors' education and training ensures that no stone is left unturned when it comes to patient care. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Better yet, investigate their website at www.invita.com. That's E-N-V-I-T-A.com. 866-830-4576, Invita at 866-830-4576, Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
Are not used for the benefit of the shareholders. The benefit corporation uses the profit to, of course, push this agenda 21, environmental agenda, this whole idea of the environment, of equity, of the economy, this agenda to transform society. It's basically a socialist agenda. It has increased the power of government over every aspect of our society. You see, the problem is we have a constitution in America that it gets in the way of the fascists who want an all-powerful government. So they have to do a means of doing an end run around our constitution. And so they undertake all of these programs, restructuring society so they can centralize power in government and bureaucracy and create this new society they believe in. Our guest is Wynn Coleman. Wynn, do you have a website you'd like to get out before we go on?
Well, I don't as it right now. I'm thinking about doing that since my activities seem to have picked up. But in the meantime, Freedom Advocates has been very generous in saying that if listeners have a very sincere, genuine interest in learning about this, they can contact Freedom Advocates, and Freedom Advocates will either put them in touch with me or maybe they can help them in some way.
All right, now, freedomadvocates.org, that's Michael Shaw, who's right here in Santa Cruz, a good friend and a frequent guest here on Radio Liberty. That's freedomadvocates.org, and or type in Michael Shaw.
And if you don't have a computer, I can give you the phone number.
All right, go ahead.
It's 831-684-2232. That's 831-684-2232.
All right, fine. And that's important. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question on this subject for our guest, you can give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-1095, because you're not going to hear this talked about on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, because the Wall Street Journal is not going to tell you what you're hearing tonight. You have to understand there are six major corporations. They control 90-95% of the media. They largely determine what the American people read, what they see, what they hear, what they think, what they honestly believe, and they spout the ideas that are repeated over and over and over again by the controlled media. And of course, that is AOL, Time Warner, Bertelsmann, Viacom that controls CBS, Disney, which controls ABC, GE, which has a vast media empire. They recently sold NBC to Comcast. Of course, Comcast has a vast empire. And then, of course, Rupert Murdoch, which controls Fox and Zondervan and a Wall Street Journal and dozens of other publications and magazines throughout the world. And, of course, is a vile, vile organization. But they pretend to be conservative. They pretend to be moral. Don't believe it for 1 minute. You all need to do is see what they've been doing and the laws they've been breaking over in Great Britain, which has been very embarrassing for Rupert Murdoch, who, of course, when he was growing up, was known as Rupert the Red, because he kept a bust of Lenin on his desk. And you have to understand, this is all about power. Communism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, as practiced by Lenin and Stalin and Gorbachev. But it doesn't work without force. Somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be controlling the dictatorship of the proletariat. And that's what it's all about. And all of these poor, idealistic, foolish people who embrace communism and socialism don't realize they're being manipulated by the very people they oppose. Go right ahead, they're winning. And again, our telephone number, if you'd like to call, and you have a question on this subject, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Go ahead, Wynn.
Well, in a moment I'll explain about the shareholders a little bit, but at the local North Carolina lawyer that I found on the Internet, Donna Ray Berkelhammer, writes in her glowing endorsement of B Corp, "The impact of being a B Corp now is like having a good housekeeping seal of approval. It is a certification from an independent third party acknowledging your company's commitment to serving society and the environment." And she says that B Corps do not receive any specific tax breaks at the state or national level.
Now, B Corp, of course, is a benefit corporation.
Right. That's
okay,
the,
go ahead.
That's the sort of trademark name for it. And though she says that they don't receive tax breaks at state or national level, Large cities are considering giving tax breaks or incentives to B corporations. Philadelphia was the first to do that. And there are a lot of less obvious advantages that companies will have by becoming B Corp, but if I have time, I'll summarize it later. Now, the thing is that the reason a company can be a B Corp voluntarily, they don't have to have legal status, but the reason they're pursuing legislation to give B Corp's legal status is because it would protect the company's directors from being sued if the shareholders feel that the profits have been wasted on unfulfilled or unnecessary missions. And this would also protect the B Corp director or benefit corp or B Corp officer in the corporation, because the directors will designate this type of director to oversee the fulfillment of these missions. So the idea is to protect the directors from liability. And the idea behind the B Corporation is that the traditional focus on what's known as the single bottom line for a company, to focus on creating profits for the shareholders, is not doing enough for the common good of society, which we know is a Rousseau philosophy that's antithetical to our system of individual rights and property ownership, and instead the state subserves the individual for the common good. And Karl Marx was very attracted to this type of philosophy. But B Corp advocates, and there are a lot of them, think that there's a better approach than the single bottom line. They like the triple bottom line. Now, isn't it funny? Everything seems to come in threes. So the triple bottom line correlates to the three E's of sustainable development: economy, environment, and social equity. And another term I've heard for the triple bottom line is people, planet, and profit. So everything seems to come in threes. And I won't get into all the technicalities tonight. I'm also, we need to move along here. But the B Corp has to have a general public purpose to impact the society and environment taken as a whole. And then they may instead of must, have other specific public benefit purposes, which could range from providing low-income or underserved individuals and communities with beneficial products or services, or preserving or improving the environment, promoting the arts, sciences, advance of knowledge, or improving human health, all of that type of thing. Now, on the surface, this seems very good and loving, but these specific public benefits aren't specific. No, they're vague and subjective, and the thing is that any company could claim anything to, as a benefit to society and con the public with that. So SB 26 states that a public society benefit purpose must include, but is not limited to, the above listed benefits that I named. So that's very confusing. In fact, to me, the only public benefit of this would be to cause people to be less confused, because it's just too confusing. Now, the big question is, who is going to determine what constitutes an underserved individual or community, or what art is worthy, or what science is credible, or who advances knowledge to improve? Who will determine what improves human health or economic opportunity? Well, it seems like the answer to that is going to lead to the third party that's going to be certifying the B Corp. And the name of that party, and this is a really fascinating story, is B-Lab. B and lab, like laboratory. And both the News and Observer and the North Carolina lawyer that I quoted earlier in the program confirmed that this third-party entity that will certify B Corp is North Carolina, in North Carolina and other states, is B-Lab, a nonprofit organization headquartered in Berwyn, Pennsylvania. What's interesting is B-Lab purports to have created the benefit corporation concept, though I think another major think tank behind it as well, I'll name later. And they also certify the companies. But here's the real punchline. The legislation for the states to legalize B corporations was crafted and proposed to the legislature by B-Lab. So how objective and independent is that? It's pretty fascinating. Now, companies will have to undergo audits or be measured through ideas such as governance, accountability, community service, environmental stewardship, and other public benefits. So it's pretty interesting, and B-Lab has all of these different ways that you can be certified, and it's really pretty fascinating, and of course the companies have to pay fees. That's how B-Lab makes their money. And they have a trademark, which is B-Corp. And what is also interesting, since I have to sort of move along here, but I should tell you what states have already passed this legislation. The first is Maryland. They always seem to be at the front of the pack.
But, Sydney, what is the advantage from the point of view of the people who want to transform our society? What is the advantage to these so-called benefit corporations or these benefit movements? Is it simply access to money? Or how does this fit into the overall scheme of things?
Well, it's interesting because a woman from California who read my article said, asked that very question, because it doesn't seem so obvious to people. They can't quite figure out what's in it for the B Corp. And, well, one thing is the tax incentives from cities are one way that companies could benefit, but other ways are because B Corps are legally recognized by government for their willingness to undertake social and environmental missions. These governments may allow these companies to go to the head of the line to get licenses and permits, where cities would do that.
I know, but what is the, Sydney, the advantage and how does this influence our society and this move towards socialism, which is the centralization of power in the hands of a small elite number of people in government, increasing the bureaucracy. How do the B corporations increase the bureaucracy power over our lives?
Well, because, first of all, they change the mindset of the people to think that they have to do everything for the common good. And the more they believe that, then the more government can come in and impose regulations and laws and government and law enforcement to be sure that we are actually complying with all of these things that are supposed to benefit society.
Okay, let's go quickly then to Bill, who's calling us from Washington State. Bill, do you have a question on this subject?
Yeah, I'm wondering about the future anticipated eco-cities and how that's a part of this, because I was just looking on live stream and there's heads of major corporations talking about how in the future the more sustainable living will be the cities that everybody is forced into, and I'm wondering, like, how would they even force that? Would that be because of some kind of a crisis or...
No, basically, you're talking about the idea of the sustainable communities where they move people out of their homes.
They already have it in Korea.
Right, and basically the whole idea, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, is the idea of building the sustainable communities. They're multi-story buildings where people will be forced to live in very small apartments. And then, of course, they'll work on the first floor. They'll do the shopping on the ground floor. We'll get people out of their cars. We'll do everything we can to force people out of their cars and into suddenly transportation. This is why they try to build these things on rail lines, why they are buying up small rail lines, the whole idea of mass transit, everything to get people out of their cars into the controlled population or onto bicycles like they have in China. Of course, the Chinese are giving up the bicycles, trying to get into cars. We're trying to get people to get out of their cars and into bicycles. We live in a world gone mad. So can you answer Bill's, can you address Bill's question, or did you understand it, Ben?
I think I do. I think everything, the elites are doing everything they can to come in from every angle to achieve these goals. And benefit corporations focus on a lot of the same goals that they name it for the common good, as Bill just talked about, all mixed-use development and moving people out of the rural areas into to these eco cities. A utopian vision. They need corporations to be involved in all of this, and so there are many different categories that achieve sustainable development, eco cities. But benefit corporations would be using their corporations to help build the building, to supply the needs in the community on many levels. And one thing too, Dr. Stan, is that one thing that's in it for the benefit corporations is, especially when they partner with government, is they're able to grow into monopolies. I call it, I think you inspired this, I call it a brotherhood of businesses, where, because I know you wrote a book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and this brotherhood of businesses creates crony capitalism, and they will cheer each other on and give each other the subcontracts, and then if they partner with government, the government will also let them go to the head of the line to do with for permits. And it's not just obvious ways that they gain power, but when they do that, then they are able to come in and do all these things to build these eco cities. In fact, when I was working on the sustainability task force, they brought in a guest who was in a renewable energy company, and he was already suggesting that maybe there is some way that certain companies who comply with these ideas of sustainable development can go to the head of the line to get their permits. So all these ideas play into it. Every category in society just about is going to be attacked, and they're all interrelated. You just have to, if you understand these core concepts, though, such as the three E's and saving the earth for future generations, and if you study up on some of them, you can recognize the strategy and the tactics in almost every category.
So let me just answer Bill's question. I think it was a very legitimate question. Bill, they're going to get people into the sustainable communities, as they're up in Siskiyou County in California, by tearing out the dams, destroying the economy, driving people off the farms because there's no water there. They take the dams down, they destroy the fishing, recreation. Well, the whole idea is to force people out of where they want to live into where the elite wants them to live, and that would be the sustainable communities. Does that answer at least in part your question?
Well, yeah, I mean, that makes sense why they're taking away the constitutional rights, too, because they have to set it up so then they can make people live in those places.
Absolutely, and this is why they want the bullet trains, they want to get you out of your cars. They drive up, going to drive up the price of gasoline. You're not going to be able to afford it. We'll be right back in a moment. And Bill, I would simply remark that over in Singapore today, if you want to have a car, it'll cost you a...
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Development, my syllabus on sustainable development, the road to world government, our 4-tape set on sustainable development, our talk on planned population reduction, or none dare call it genocide, their DVDs, you can watch them on our website for nothing, or hopefully you'll want to buy them and copy them and distribute them. There is a plan, a diabolical plan to kill off most of the people in the world, and people shake their head and say that couldn't be true. And yet, of course, if you've been reading recently where our government put up a lot of money to actually get scientists to be able to take one of the most deadly diseases known to mankind. Actually, it's not a human disease. It's an animal bird disease, the avian flu, and make it so it will infect human beings and spread from human beings. It's about 50 to 80% fatal. Why would we give money to scientists to make this so it would infect human beings and spread readily from person to person? Because they want to kill off most of the people in the world. Exactly, that's the reason they created the AIDS epidemic, because that's primarily aimed at the black population. It is a species-specific type of disease that attacks blacks far more than whites, which is why if you go into Botswana today, the World Health Organization shows that about 46 to 48% of all the pregnant women there are HIV infected, and they're all going to die. What a wonderful public health policy. I mean, if you want to kill off the population, you know a better way than to give these people a deadly disease that's going to kill most of them. And, of course, the whole idea is to kill off the black population and then, of course, repopulate Africa with whites. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the blacks in America or simply the responsible white people to know. And, of course, there's so much out there. You ought to get my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Now, you have to understand when I wrote it, I didn't understand that, of course, this is was a produced disease. You need to get some of our other talks getting at the back of that. The book, Full Disclosure, you can link to that from my website. Based upon the revelations by a man dying of cancer who told Dr. Gary Glum, he was part of the group that created the AIDS epidemic. We carry the book, AIDS, the Disease Beyond Belief, I think it is. No, a Crime Beyond Belief by Don Scott. Anybody call us at 1-800-544-8927. Let me suggest another book. It's written in fictional form, like a Tom Clancy novel, only it's real. It's a story set in my good friend, Dr. Garth Nicholson. It's called Project A. Lillian, it goes into the background of the AIDS epidemic and the experiments that were done there in Texas, in Houston, Texas, when Garth was a tenured professor at the MD Anderson Clinic, and they started killing people around him, and what finally got him to leave was not only the several threats against his life, but when his immediate superior, who told him he was a retired Army Air Force colonel, that he was going to come forward and expose the experiments done on the prisoners at Huntsville prison. And within a few hours, why, of course, he had five shots in the back of his head. That was the head of the clinic there. And at that time, why, of course, Garth came to California and had to give up his tenured positions. Dr. Garth Nicholson's an amazing individual, and we have what a privilege it is to have interviewed him a number of times. But the book is Project Daylily. Project Daylily. And, of course, we want you to get our talk on planned population reduction, Nundar, called a genocide. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You'll want to get the Brotherhood of Darkness, of course. It's a key to understanding everything. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. Remember, you can listen there on the Internet 24 hours a day. You can also listen on a telephone 24 hours a day. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection. Through the night, live a life from one. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Bob Fletcher. And Bob is an amazing individual. He actually was a successful toy manufacturer, doing very well, and had a business in the United States and throughout the world when a very, very convincing man came to him and wanted to buy up half of his company for a great deal of money so that we could expand the toy business. And Bob foolishly went along with that, and of course he didn't realize this man was from the CIA, and they wanted to use his business as a cover for shipping arms to Iran, and it was all part of the Iran-Contra scheme. And of course, as Bob got into this deeper and deeper, and of course he was lucky to get out alive, because he challenged the Central Intelligence Agency that actually has people who kill people here in the United States. And if you doubt that, you need to get our 4-CD set, Deadly Assassins, where we actually interview 2 CIA-trained assassins who were given contracts for people in the United States. Neither one of them, of course, would talk about the people that they have killed for our government, but they will tell you about the people where they turned down the contracts. And then, of course, we have the interview with the man who tracked down the man who was paid to kill General George Patton. We carry the book, Target Patton. They had to kill George Patton at the end of the war. Why? Well, long before the war ended, he wanted simply to take his 2nd Army Division, streak across Germany and take Berlin and end the war. And they didn't want to end the war. They wanted to kill as many people as they could. So they simply cut off the gasoline, so there was no way that General Patton could win the war. And the same thing was true. General Albert Wedemeyer, who is in charge of planning for the United States military, I spent 2 wonderful weekends with him. He told me they were ready to invade Europe in 1943. But Winston Churchill, who was a Druid, deeply involved in this whole world cult movement. Of course, you're never going to read about that in the controlled media, but Winston Churchill intervened, insisted on a senseless invasion of North Africa, and then a senseless invasion of Sicily, and then a senseless invasion of Italy, where they lost more people at Anzio than General MacArthur lost in all of his invasions in the South Pacific. But Winston Churchill had done the first same thing in the First World War when he was High Lord of the Admiralty. Had prolonged the war and killed 160 British and 160,000 British soldiers and 160,000 Turk soldiers at the invasion of Gallipoli. But they wanted as much horror and bloodshed as they could so that people would be so revulsed by the concept of war that we're willing to go along with the world government, which, of course, Winston Churchill espoused because he was a Druid. He was a Mason. He was deeply involved in this whole world occult movement, and you're never going to read about this any place unless you go up on the Internet, and you can verify everything I'm saying there. But right now, let's get to our good friend Bob Fletcher. Hi, Bob. How are we doing tonight? Oh, let's press the right button there. Hi, Bob. How are we doing tonight?
Okay. Doing all right.
Well, you're. What are we going to talk about?
Well, we talked last week, though, you know, about the October surprise with the election coming up, and or at least coming up in about a year. But with all the activity going on, it seems like it's just around the corner. And, of course, the October surprise being a label that they put on usually some activity or covert operation or something that goes on behind the scenes to get somebody elected or get somebody not elected and get somebody else or whatever the case may be. But that's always been called the October surprise.
Well, because the most famous one was during the Carter administration when they did not want the American prisoners who were held as hostages released.
Right, right. And that was a that folks really need to understand what went on there. That was terrible. And I've been going over my book, which I mentioned, that I'm trying to finalize and get in a complete situation, get it close to being published here. And in that, of course, we include my participation in getting the October Surprise investigated in Congress. And there are so many of these what I call really outrageous, either political but also military actions that we've been involved with that are based on things that people never even would understand or didn't know about it, they certainly wouldn't understand. And one of them that I cover in my book as well is, of course, the Panama invasion that we carried out. And, of course, you know, that was outrageous. A lot of people have totally, of course, forgotten about it. You know, and if you said to some youngsters at this point in time, if you mentioned the fact that we invaded Panama, they would look at you and say, you know, what are you talking about? We had this situation where Jimmy Carter was cutting a deal with Panama, or had cut the deal with Panama, a new treaty, and it was in the 80s, and the idea of it was that we were going to give back the Panama Canal, turn that all completely back to the hands of the Panamanians. And of course, we had Manuel Noriega taken over leadership from a fellow named Trujillo, a dictator down there. And of course, it's one of these deals where our government had supported the one, and then we decide he's not cooperative enough, so we supported Noriega. And Trujillo had one of those magical plane crashes that killed him, and so Noriega had taken over the leadership and was in bed with the CIA.
I was involved in drug smuggling, and there's no question Noriega was involved in drug smuggling with the full help and support of the CIA, but he wanted more of his share of the money. And Chris, you're working with the CIA, you do not play games. You say yes sir, no sir, and if you don't, why, of course, you get invaded, and if you survive, why, you'll spend the rest of your life in prison. And that's what happened to old Noriega. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our guest this evening is Bob Fletcher, and he was talking about the invasion of Panama. Now, most people have forgotten the invasion of Panama during the administration of George Herbert Walker Bush, but the reason, of course, we invaded Panama was because Noriega, the dictator there that we had installed, and was deeply involved in the drug smuggling at the behest of the CIA, and Noriega was either keeping back part of the profits or was demanding more in the way of profits. We don't know all the details, but we do know that the CIA is the largest distributor of illegal drugs in the whole world. And if you doubt that, go up on the internet and simply type in CIA involved drug smuggling, and certainly we have all sorts of books, and we have tape sets on this if you want to get them. We have a book called The Search for Kunsaw, The Search for Kunsaw. We have the four-tape set, Is There Really a War Against Drugs? We have the book, The Men We Left Behind, by Monica Jensen Stevenson. But there's certainly so much up in the internet. The CIA is the major drug smuggler. And, of course, when Noriega either wanted more profit, was holding back on the profits, or we simply invaded Sydney, Panama, we killed a lot of people, we captured Noriega, and was sent off for trial after trial after trial. First of all, he was kept in prison in Florida, and then he was sent, I think he was in prison over in Spain, and now he's being sent back to Panama. He'll die in prison. A good riddance. He was a crook, but it's also a good lesson for other people throughout the world who are working with the CIA and certainly dare to cross them. And so if you cross the people in the CIA and what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness, they will get you. They'll either kill you or put you in prison. Not that I have any sympathy for Noriega, but go right ahead, Bob.
Well, some of the inside of a whole multitude of things inside the, let's say, the rest of the story around Noriega and all that went on there, a lot of things people don't know anything about is, for example, for several years prior to the disenchantment of the powers in the United States, where they decided that they no longer wanted to be involved with Noriega, decided they were going to go in and just take him on out of Panama. As a matter of fact, he's actually lucky because the orders were to just kill him. He was supposed to have been killed, and he was actually accidentally captured. And then once people knew, including the media, knew that he had been captured, well, then they couldn't kill him, and so they were stuck with having to figure out how to put him through all the trial mechanisms and what have you. But he was involved very full-time in the narcotics. He was also involved in the Contra business and administration under Reagan and George Bush as vice president and the rest of his Central Intelligence friends. They were all involved. I don't know whether Reagan was, but Bush...
You're talking about Iran-Contra, of course, where we were trading weapons to Iran, and then they were, of course, giving us money, and then they used that money to buy weapons for the Contras, who were fighting the communists, who we'd installed. So we installed the communist Noriega in Nicaragua, and then we financed the Contras to fight Noriega, who had installed in Nicaragua. And a perfect example, you finance both sides, and then, of course, whichever side wins, why you win. Go right ahead.
Well, and then, of course, everybody that's supplying the weapons going down and the drugs coming back and making the huge multitudes of money, and by either just turning their heads and permitting these things to go on, or be directly involved with the narcotics and the money laundering. And that even goes with its basis going way back to the Vietnam War, with our CIA operatives being involved with, and our military being involved with, the drugs at that time. And they had set up they had actually taken United States taxpayers' money and United States military, and they set up a thing called the Watchtower Operation. And Operation Watchtower was a multitude of signal towers set up throughout South America and Central America that were used by drug-smuggling aircraft to pick up signals. They could actually turn off their running lights, and they would actually pick up signals from these variety of towers and come in and land beneath the radar and land in Panama, doing two things. They would pick up weapons there to go south, but they would pick up, of course, narcotics there to come north into the United States. And this was called Operation Watchtower. I get into describing that in quite detail in my book. But the bottom line of that was, of course, Noriega was right in the middle of all of that, and several of our major Central Intelligence operatives were involved with setting that up and what have you. And that ran for a few years. And what happened, like you say, exactly what the straw was that broke the camel's back, I'm not sure, other than that operatives and agents had told me that it appeared that Manuel Noriega, over the period of a few years, was not only, of course, gaining his own strength within the Latin American community, and therefore he was turning his back on the CIA. We had Admiral Poindexter and the people that were in the national security at that time. They were going down on a regular basis to Panama, and, of course, telling Noriega, this is what we want you to do, and this is what we want you not to do, and trying to run his show. And, of course, you have a self-centered dictator that was growing in his own stature down there, and he started telling the CIA, Central Intelligence to go away, that he was not going to follow all their mandates. And so, and additionally, apparently, he was dipping profusely into the dope or the dope money. Every time a plane would stop and offload, he would pull some off for himself, a few pounds, and sell it off on the side. And so there was money disappearing from the drug operations that Central Intelligence agents were involved with. So eventually came around to where George Bush decided that he was going to take him out. And so we actually went down and invaded Panama. And the invasion of Panama was mind-boggling. It's a story that was one of these ultimate stories of really kept quiet. We went in, and they used it for several things. Number one, of course, was to remove Noriega, and to number two, to stop that treaty that we were giving back Panama Canal to Manuel Noriega. But then another part was strictly to try out for the first time on a very non-resistant enemy, because they certainly didn't have any giant army to speak of. You know, it's not like invading Red China, for crying out loud. And we practiced and tried out some of our brand new laser weapons that we had developed. And we tried out the stealth fighter planes, profusely trying, you know, experimenting with those. We actually, I can't imagine using stealth aircraft coming in on a little place like Panama. We sent 26,000 military personnel into Panama. We set up and practiced down there, going a good dry run on taking civilians, rounding them up, and putting them into prefabricated prison camps in Panama. And the worst of it was that we ended up going in, and they burned and destroyed like 30% of Panama itself. These were, of course, what you would call the middle-class family residents in Panama. They didn't do very much in the wealthy area. But in the middle class and the lower class, they just burned it. They went door to door throwing firebombs into the front door, and they literally burned about 30-35% of Panama to the ground. We, our own troops now, which is absolutely outrageous, they took guys, and it was like Adolf Hitler back during the Holocaust. They took them. They took civilians by the hundreds and rounded them up, put them on trucks, separated the men from the families, took them off to secret camps that they set up real quick around the city of Panama. And we ended up murdering some 4,000 civilians and buried a couple of thousand of them in mass graves.
Well, Bob, where is this written up? I've never read this.
This is very disturbingly shown in the video called Panama Deception. Now, this is a video that was done several years ago, and it's done. Elizabeth Montgomery actually does dialogue on it. It is a very well done. It was an expensive video. They actually have live video of exactly what I'm talking about. They have live video of the people of Panama talking about all of these events and showing where these graves are and how they did it and showing the people being run over and even burned to death by our troops.
Well, has something that's ever been brought up in Congress? Does Congress have any idea?
Yes, and I mean, it was attempted to be seriously looked at, and it was something that the Bush administration really covered up. It's flagrantly available. I think you know, a person still could dig up the video. The video probably is the best.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, I'm going to have to get hold of it.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Very reliable through the years. He's talking about a video called Panama Deception. I knew we'd killed about 5,000 people in Panama. I never understood that a lot of them had their hands bound behind their back. But if when you're in the military, you never talk about anything. If you do, they'll send you to prison or they will kill you. And you may think that that is just the most ridiculous thing you ever heard, but let me simply suggest you get our 4-CD set on the USS Liberty, and there you'll actually hear my interviews with the survivor of the attack on the USS Liberty back in 67, who were told by their commanding officers that if they ever told anyone, even their wives, what happened that terrible day in 1967 when their ship was attacked and almost sunk, why they would spend the rest of their lives in Leavenworth or worse. And they told me they knew what they were talking about when they said or worse, and none of these men would speak out for 20 long years. And then one by one, they did come forward, and you'll actually hear them interviewed in my 4-CD set. We actually have 2 DVDs on this, one put out by the survivors of the attack, the other put out by the BBC. Neither one of the DVDs could ever be shown in America. How could you cover up the murder of American servicemen at the behest of the people in Washington, D.C., because, of course, basically the whole attack was arranged by Lyndon Johnson. They wanted the ship to go down, all of the men on the USS Liberty to die, so we could justify attacking Egypt. That's what it was all about. You had to have an excuse to attack Egypt, and those stupid people on the ship survived. And how could you attack Egypt when they survived? And so, they were not supposed to survive. The commanding officer of the ship got the Medal of Honor, you know, for saving the ship and his men. Only years later did he come out and tell the truth. But they lived in constant fear, and I'm sure many of the people on that attack, certainly on Panama, are today afraid to speak out because they know what happens. We know what happened to General George Patton. To keep him from telling the American people the truth about what really happened in Europe. But go right ahead, Bob.
As a matter of fact, while you were speaking, I have located this whole group of this Panama deception. It is up on YouTube, so anybody that's interested, you go up on the YouTube on the computer. Just write in Panama Deception, and I see that they have a minimum of 6 or 7 viewings, which amounts to 91 minutes, or 7 minutes, or 3 minutes, or what have you. So there's whether the whole thing is there or not doesn't make any difference. Enough of it is there that you will see that what I'm talking about is absolutely completely documented. Most outrageous that I recall strictly from memory at this point were citizens, civilians, vehicles, and people are run over by tanks and just smashed in their cars and run over by American tanks. Seeing the American soldiers rounding up the men, putting them into huge military trucks, transporting them to auditoriums, and keeping them in the auditoriums arrested under surveillance, taking certain small groups of them, handcuffing them, and the video shows 10 or 15, 20 of these guys on their knees with plastic handcuffs, and then the next shot is the same group completely mowed down by our military and shot. This is probably the most outlandish, covert-connected operations that I've ever seen carried out. I know we've had an awful lot of them, and the list becomes amazing.
Well, I just checked the Internet. It's right up there under YouTube. Looks like most of it's up there. Ladies and gentlemen, if this seems impossible for you to believe, go up on the Internet, look up YouTube, Panama Deception. I haven't seen it, but I'll take Bob's word for it. Bob is a man of integrity and one of the few people out there who I think is very, very accurate. I wouldn't put Bob on if he'd ever told me anything that wasn't true, but everything he's told me has been true. And so you need to find out what really happened. If they do it to the people in Panama, do you think for 1 minute they wouldn't do it here in America? Why do you think that they suddenly mobilizing all the female camps across America? They're actually, of course, recruiting people to work in those camps. They're bringing food into the camps. You need to get my talk on the planned police state. Go to the Internet and look up YouTube, Jesse Ventura, the police camps, female camps. Find out if it's true and then help sound the alarm.
While the storm clouds gather, let
you, Stan, and go right ahead, Bob.
Well, the much later, as a matter of fact, again, most all of my book, and as is most of my videos, are things that I ended up being directly involved in one manner or another. I don't do anything from what I consider to be a second, third, or fourth hand situation. And as far as the Noriega situation was, an interesting thing took place. That was after, again, at this period of time, I was very much involved with Senator Kerry's and congressional inquiries and Jesse Helms and doing things with him and Henry Gonzalez from Texas in several different inquiries and involved on the investigative side of things. And Manuel Noriega, of course, was captured, like I said earlier, which put everybody into a trick bag in Washington because, number one, they were scared to death that he had some video or audio tapes of several covert meetings that he and possibly George Bush and other covert operatives under his administration, that many of the meetings that they had, they were worried that Noriega had tapes, et cetera, that would be released. And I believe, as a matter of fact, I know he did have these tapes, but was never able to get back quick enough to where they were hidden away. Whether we ever caught them, got the tapes, et cetera, whether those were ever gathered up by anyone or not, I don't know. But he obviously never was able to get back to them. But I received a call from the lawyers that were representing Noriega after he was captured. And, of course, he had the lawyers from the Rubino attorneys out of Miami were handling his case. And they asked me if I had information that would be beneficial on the defense of Noriega. And, of course, I thought, first off, on the externally, I would say, well, probably no. I couldn't think.
Hold that thought, Bob. We'll be right back in a minute here. Yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and so our guest this evening, Bob Fletcher, and Bob, of course, was involved indirectly with the whole Noriega affair because at the time, of course, he was doing a lot of testimony. He was doing for people in Congress. He was actually doing a lot of investigating for people in Congress, trying to uncover various scandals. So he was actually contacted by the lawyers for the people who were defending Noriega, and they asked him if he had any information that would help, of course, Noriega's case. Of course, basically, of course, we have a case right now. It's in court. It is one of the leaders of the drug smuggling down in Mexico. This fellow is being tried in a New York, I think it's a New York court, or a court here in the United States. And his defense is, look, I was just working for the American government. I'd been given immunity for all the crimes I committed and for all my drug smuggling because I was working for the CIA. Well, of course, this is creating quite a distraction. You're not hearing about it, but we read about it in the New York Times. And so they demanded that the CIA records be released to prove what he said was true. The CIA said, we can't release those records. The judge is, well, judge doesn't know what to do because you can't simply try a man who has a defense, but the government will not allow him to defend himself. And he was really working, this head of one of the major drug cartels in Mexico was really working for the government, for our government, with immunity. How can you possibly try the man? So we don't know what's going to happen, but I was just reading about this the other day in the New York Times, and this is, I'm sure, what the people who were defending Noriega were trying to do when they contacted Bob. What would this be, the late 1980s or so?
Yes, that's correct.
So they contacted Bob Fletcher, and they said, do you have any information that would help Noriega? Because, of course, he had been working for the CIA. All of his crimes were related to the CIA. Now, of course, he was probably stealing money from the CIA on the side and taking more than his share. But they'd done something, of course, to irritate the CIA. and they determined, first of all, to kill him, and when the invasion failed to kill him, then, of course, they sent him to prison, and he's been in prison ever since that time. He was recently transferred from Spain back to through Panama. Oh, he's been in prison since the early 1980s, and he will spend the rest of his life and die in prison. What was his crime? Why, of course, he was working for the CIA, and because he took more than his share, or he antagonized somebody, we don't know. He was a crook. I have little sympathy for him, but what about the people in the CIA who are involved in drug smuggling? And if you doubt that, ladies and gentlemen, fortunately, we do have the Internet. Go up on the Internet and go to your search engine and write in CIA finance or directs international drug smuggling, and you'll find out what I'm telling you is true. If it is, then you've got to get involved with us, because these people are evil, and they're killing people and destroying their lives, and we're sending people to prison for drug use, drugs that are produced and distributed under the auspices of the CIA. So on one hand, we have a war on drugs, and then, of course, the real drug smugglers who work at the highest levels of our government. Our government is highly compartmentalized. Most people in the CIA, the intelligence agencies, could not believe this is true. But we have a number of, I will mention at the end of the program, books, tape sets. We have a 4-tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? We'll actually hear Bill Clinton at a press conference in the White House. He's actually asked by a reporter, what about the drugs at Mena Airport when you were the governor of Arkansas? And his response is, and you'll hear his voice saying, well, that wasn't my operation. That was a federal operation. I had nothing to do with the drugs at Mena Airport. That was a federal operation. Well, he's the president of the United States. But, of course, he was involved in all sorts of things. In fact, as his brother said, and there's a taped interview with his brother. That brother didn't know he was being taped, but he was, of course, buying a line of cocaine. That's where, of course, you would lay a strip of cocaine, and you then have a little something, and you inhale it. And basically, he's saying, I got to get some of this from my brother, referring to Bill. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner, talking about Bill Clinton. I got to get some from my brother. He's got a nose like a vacuum cleaner. That's Bill Clinton's brother. I'm making that statement. You'll actually see the video. We actually have that somewhere among our own videos. But Bob, go ahead with the story. They contacted you from the Noriega Defense and asked you what you could do to help them. Go ahead.
Right. At that time, I was in Orlando. And it was actually, this was like very first January, I don't know, someplace in the earlier part of 1990. He had been actually grabbed up December 80 of 89, so within a couple of weeks it became 1990. And by the way, 1990 was the year that I was running in Florida for the United States Congress against Bill McCollum. So therein was the point that somehow my name had gotten to the attorneys down in Miami, and here was this this Fletcher in Orlando that had all this information and was the going to be running for Congress, etc. And so therein was where I got the call. And they came up to Orlando. We put together an agreement, and of course, I originally was thinking, I said, well, gee, no, I don't know that I have anything. I said, well. See, and this is really an interesting deal here. I said, I may be able to connect, I'm sure I can connect him to people in our government, if that's going to help you. You know, I can connect them to their drug operations, to very high-level people in our government, and I certainly will supply you with all of that information on that side. So we put together a contract, actually. They came up. I was being very careful because I obviously could really be set up on something like this. And, of course, this is the attorneys that actually handle all of the mob coming up out of Florida, all of the old the major mob characters, they always went to Rubino for their defense. So I was being really cautious, and I ended up, I put together a report that was very quickly done. I put together, they paid me a pretty good amount of money for it. And lo and behold, Bill McCollum, who I was running against, going to run against that year, happened to be seated on part of the committee in Washington that was putting together the congressional complaints against Noriega. And a couple of weeks after supplying the lawyers for Noriega with this unbelievable list and et cetera in terms of who was doing what, and by the way, I had a contract with them to guarantee the total secrecy that my name would never be connected to this investigation. And that was signed on, a contract, et cetera, by the lawyers. And what happens is a guy knocks on my door in Orlando, Florida, and hands me the entire original report back. And he says, nobody's going to look at this. And I said, who the heck are you? And he says, I'm with Bill McCollum, and we are keeping an eye on what you're doing, and nobody is going to look at this. And so it had made a complete circle under a contract of secrecy, was delivered to Washington, and they had obviously already gone over it and returned it with an attempt to scare myself. And that was basically what it amounted to.
In other words, basically Bill McCollum was working with these criminal elements. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And of course, you do or you don't know, but he was directly involved with all of those Iran-Contra characters that I had been pursuing for the last, at that time, was 5 years.
Were you running as a Democrat or Republican at the time?
No, he was a Republican. I obviously, and he'd been in for a long time, and I simply ran as a Democrat. Nobody was going to run against him at all, and because he was, in my personal opinion, and of course with facts to back it up, he was carrying out things that were criminal out of his congressional office, which included actually recruiting mercenaries. Now, of course, all of this is in documentation, but he was recruiting mercenaries right out of his office for the Iran-Contra operation on the one hand, while on the other hand, he was seated on the committee for investigating some of this stuff. Again, of course, it's all documented. His direct assistant was named several times in Oliver North's personal handwritten notes. They actually had meetings in Bill McCollum's offices and all of that. And that's in Oliver North's notes. So these are all documented facts. But that was where that went. And the worst of it was, of course, that they did absolutely nothing with the material.
And I think it's important that people understand that Oliver North was convicted, but of course he was pardoned by the president. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah, the worst of it is that Oliver North and two or three other people were actually convicted in Costa Rica of murder and attempted murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and drug smuggling. And they were actually found guilty down there. And if he ever went back down there, he would spend the rest of his life in prison.
Well, now, basically, though, certainly Poindexter was
convicted.
But Poindexter, was Oliver North convicted up here of crimes? I know Poindexter was pardoned.
They were all pardoned. But none of them, of course, were not. They were convicted of, impeding congressional inquiries and what I call kind of soft-pedaled stuff. They were all given pardons on everything. They were pardoned for everything, and that was the end of it.
And Ronald Reagan, of course, had to cover this whole thing up, and that's something I could never forgive him for covering up these things. He knew what he was doing. These were criminals. But, of course, they covered for him, and he covered for them.
Yes, sir. And again, the whole list of of these operations that have been carried out for so many years and handed down almost like inherited, if you will, from one administration to another, both the right and the left, and it's extremely upsetting when you actually have it all laid out in front of you and you realize it's one right after another, and it all boils down to greed and the lust for power and lust for control, and then of course the American dollar. You have some of these, like Edwin Wilson, you may remember that name. He was a fellow that was sent away and put away for one of the old Iran scam thing, the missiles that he was selling missiles to foreign countries, etc. He just happened to be he was a CIA agent that happened to be caught carrying out some of these acts, and apparently for some reason they were done with him, so they unloaded on him and he got put away. But Edwin Wilson, to give you an example, here's a guy who's making $35,000 or $65,000 basically as an agent, and in a short period of time had amassed a fortune of over $14 million.
Well, he was the fellow who was actually convicted of working, was it with Gaddafi? Was it
yeah, right, it? That's right. Exactly. Right. I couldn't think of it.
They proved that he was actually working as a government agent, and he got out of prison after being sent to prison on trumped-up charges. Here was a man working for the intelligence agencies, given exonerated for certainly what he was doing, who was actually arrested here in the United States, was sent to prison, and eventually a lawyer got him out when he proved that this whole operation, this illegal operation that Wilson was involved in, was actually a CIA operation. Isn't that the story?
Well, yes, and of course, again, and I have to make a point of this because it relates to my business with the toy company and this Gary Best character. What these guys do, they function either as full-time agents or contract agents. They carry out what you and I and average good American might consider to be legitimate central intelligence operations, where they're trying to stop spies, they're trying to prevent problems with the international criminals and that type of thing. And that's what they're hired to do. And they carry those out on the left hand. And then on the right hand, because they always can jump behind that cover of the intelligence and the secrecy scam. So they do the legitimate stuff on the left. On the right hand, they carry out these little criminal activities, and some of them that turn into big criminal activities, like narcotics and murder and things of that sort. But they always are able to get away with it because they come back and they say, this was part of this operation or that operation. It's labeled secret, it's top secret, and nobody can know, you can't arrest me, you can't pursue me, is what they say, because of this operation. And they say, if you will, if you do put me before a jury, I'm going to talk and tell you the names of agents and what we were doing. So they automatically say, gee whiz, we'll just give him 6 months in prison, telling him he's a bad boy, and they turn him loose again. And so they get away under the cover of law and that magical stamp called top secret. And as long as they can get away with that, they carry out these criminal activities. And as a matter of fact, now the program that I mentioned earlier, that was called the Watchtower Operation, setting up with actually our own money, our own military equipment and people, set up these towers, these signal towers, that was one of the operations that this Edwin Wilson also carried out, besides being involved with selling missiles to Gaddafi, right? But this is one of these things where he was involved with Michael Harari, the Mossad assassin, and Thomas Klein, a CIA intelligence station chief. And they set these drug signal towers with our own money, our taxpayers, and our military actually running the operations. they didn't know what they were doing. They thought the towers were for catching spies.
Well, unfortunately, most people are good people. Very few understand what's really going on, but unfortunately, there's a small group I call them the Brotherhood of Darkness who are inherently evil and carrying out these programs. Of course, an awful lot of people are getting killed all throughout the world today. And we have genocidal policies that are underway throughout the world. We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. If folks would like to see, get a...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com.
For many decades, these great United...
.com, and that'll connect you to our website. And as Stan says, we have a good small handful of my own investigations on DVD, several reports. They're very specific, and they cover a variety of corrupted exposés on our corrupted government, and we're proud of them because for the most part they're sort of all firsthand as opposed to somebody telling you something that they heard from their great grandmother.
Okay, Bob. God bless and thanks very much.
Thank you.
God bless. Okay, fine. That was Ben Bob Fletcher. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, of course, we have a couple of books. We have the book "Kiss the Boys Goodbye," Monica Jensen Stevenson's book. and it goes into the Vietnam War, and how, of course, they were actually smuggling drugs back in the United States, and the bodies of our dead soldiers, cutting open their abdomen, taking out the intestines and packing them with drugs. And there was one reason, of course, why they did this. The book, of course, is called Kiss the Boys Goodbye. It was actively suppressed by the publisher, and when Vodica got the copyright back and moved to Canada and got another publisher to publish the book, they accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye, but we actually have used copies of that. We have another book called The Search for Kudensaw. It goes into the background of Kudensaw, the largest drug smuggler in the world, who is working for the CIA. That's The Search for Kudensaw. We have a four-tape set, of course, it's called, and it's got my interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson. It's called The Men We Left Behind, the four-tape set. You'll actually hear my interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson, where she tells you about how, of course, one reason for prolonging the Vietnam War was to facilitate getting drugs into America, the CIA's operation. We have another four-tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? It's actually six different interviews. You'll actually hear the White House interview with Bill Clinton, where he explains the drugs at MENA Airport by saying, well, that wasn't my operation, that was a federal operation. He doesn't deny that there was a drug operation at MENA Airport when he was the governor of Arkansas. He just said it was the federal operation, because at that time he was the president of the United States. You'll hear his voice making that statement. And then, of course, we do carry Bob Fletcher's excellent DVD of the CIA and drugs. And you can get that from him or get it from us. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is radioliberty.com. You can go there, listen to our programs 24 hours a day. You won't get much accomplished, but you'll sure learn a lot. Many of the programs are archived for 6 weeks. Get the information, copy it, get other people to listen. If you have time and you really care about America, go to our homepage at radioliberty.com. Scroll down to where it says Donate PayPal, but we're not asking you to donate, although if you'd like to donate, we'd love to hear from you. But down about an inch, it says Radio Liberty Script. Pull up the script. And it tells you how to begin to approach people. Making cold calls from the telephone book. Just call people and ask them if they know what's going on in the world, if they'd like to do something to save America. Read the script a few times and then start putting in calls. If we can get every one of our listeners to do that within a relatively few months, and we could get people listening to our program to double or triple or quadruple our audience, and where every place